the ability, but also the opportunity to really participate in God's realm. It's uncharted territories. It's unfamiliar. It's not fear. It's unfamiliar. And that's how we approach this. Now, one of the things that I also wanted to let you know is that Pastor Ryan was scheduled to give the message today. Last night, he had some real nausea symptoms come up and was unable to be here just because from that of the nausea, a little bit of cold. It is not coronavirus. Okay? He doesn't have the same symptoms. He just got the flu bug, per se, that's going around right now. And so we're going to have Pastor Aaron give the message. What we want you to do is just absorb what this message is. And as we go through as a church over this coming week, tomorrow we're going to meet and let everyone know what we're going to do with all the activities that happen during the week. We'll let you know about Wednesday night. We'll let you know about coming Sunday services and how we're going to navigate this new realm that we're walking in. The whole thing of this is that we're going to be in communication, and we see this as an opportunity to really understand how to flow within the new covenant, within the Trinity, with the Holy Spirit directing us. This is going to be an opportunity. You notice I use that word opportunity a lot because it's new, that we are going to be able to demonstrate to the world what it means to be Christ-like in this time. And it's like almost, if you think about it, when Christ came and started doing his ministry, he brought a whole nother realm of thinking, a whole nother understanding. And even though it's not exactly the same, that's really where we're at because of the unfamiliarity of this. So I'd like to have Pastor Aaron come up and really, really understand what he has to say. He has a phenomenal message prepared that's going to help us walk through this. Pastor Aaron.
Well, good morning, church. The room is not empty for those of you that are wondering, but we are down to bare bones staff this morning just because we want to love well and honor well. But before we get into the message, let's pray. King Jesus, thank you so much that you are not the author of death and that you are not the author of fear. God, we thank you that when we see the face of fear, we never see the face of Jesus. Thank you that those aren't the same thing. The same way that when we see death, we're not seeing Jesus. When we see fear, we're not seeing Jesus. So we thank you for that, God. We thank you that you are bigger than anything that we're facing right now. We thank you that panic goes down right now in Jesus' name. Fear breaks right now in Jesus' name. God, would you prepare our hearts for a shift in posture this morning? Thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God. We trust you. We trust you with our families, with our friends, with our city, with our state, with our nation, God. We trust you. Thank you that this whole thing is in your capable hands. So we bless you, God. We bless you, God. Let peace fill every single home in our community right now. And for those that are watching online right now, God, may peace just invade through whatever screen they're looking at. In Jesus' name, amen. Fear is not the gospel. And fear often masquerades as wisdom in the world around us. Now, if you've been watching the news over the last 72 hours, I'm really sorry. I was forced to watch the news a little bit just because I got tasked with like intel gathering as we're walking out wisdom together in our congregation and in our community to know what we're supposed to do. And there is so much fear and panic that's just spreading around us right now that to be a believer in the midst of that, I believe it's really, really easy to partner with fear and call it wisdom. To justify the things that you're doing out of that rapid heartbeat panic place and pretend that that's actually the wisdom of God made manifest. Does that make sense? Like there's this reality that we step into that says, oh man, I need beans and band-aids and bullets. I gotta do everything that I can to be ready for this craziness that's going on. And, God told me to do it. So that means it's okay. I had a dream that God told me to do it, so it's okay. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop partnering with fear and calling it wisdom. This isn't what the gospel looks like. Do you guys know why God's not afraid? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever spent some time with that thought process? Why isn't God afraid? The first thing that comes to mind for you might be, well, God's all powerful. God is all powerful. He's not more powerful. He's all powerful. That's why God's not afraid, right? Like there's nothing that he could possibly run into that he couldn't handle. That's not the answer. Well, you might say God's in control. Like God is in control completely 100%, so that's why God's not afraid. He's totally in control, so there's nothing that's going to surprise him. God is so prepared, in a sense, that now he doesn't have to be afraid anymore. That's not either, though. God is self-sufficient and self-sustaining. That's got to be why there's no fear. Like, that's got to be why we never see God in a fear response ever, because he's just got everything so sorted internally that he doesn't have to deal with any of this stuff externally ever, 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 right? The answer to God not being afraid is that God is love. And the scripture makes this really clear, that perfect love, it's so diametrically opposed to fear that perfect love actually casts it out. That when those two things come into the same place, fear just can't be around perfect love. And the apostle John, the gospel writer and epistle writer, tells us that love is so complete in God that it's actually the basis, the foundation of his entire nature. John says, God is love. God is love. So fear cannot exist in him. So you may be tempted in this season that we're walking through to try to amass power to not be afraid. Or to try to do crazy things like go buy up all the toilet paper and the beans and the Band-Aids to not be afraid. That's not the heart and nature of God. It's not what he looks like ever, 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 ever. The way that you overcome fear is you step into perfect love. This looks like something, church. While I'm here this morning, my wife and my daughter are going door to door to our neighbors and knocking on the doors of our elderly neighbors to see if they need anything. Now, they're taking precautions. They're keeping their distance. The goal is not to freak out anybody. My daughter is a hugger, so she's going to have to be on a leash to stop her from running up and hugging our elderly neighbors. But this is a reality. Fear and wisdom sometimes smell similarly. They're totally different. If your heart motivator is to love well in the midst of this and to be able to love other people really well in the midst of this, that's okay. That's the point. So what's happening within our body right now, you're going to notice, if you haven't already, we're doing church online. We're not doing church online because we're afraid of the coronavirus. We're not doing church online as a fear response to this COVID-19 thing that's happening. We're doing church online because part of our call is to love the least of these. And believe it or not, the least of these are in our congregation. But let me explain that. The population that's most vulnerable, according to the CDC and news sources and all those groups, are the elderly and people that are immunocompromised. We have them in our church. It would be a ridiculous move for us to potentially expose those people that we love so deeply to not just the coronavirus, but even to the fear of gathering by making it available for us to come together. And I know that there's somebody right now that's going, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Did you know that the same way that fear masquerades as wisdom, foolishness sometimes masquerades as faith? Oh, if I offended you, I still don't care, but I love you. There are people out there that are treating this whole thing flippantly, and they're calling it faith. We never see Jesus do that. We never see Jesus be cavalier with the hearts of the people around him. Like we never see that, but for some reason this is okay for the church today. I want to ask if you're tracking with me, but I realize nobody can respond. So give a like if you're tracking with me, I guess. But this is reality. If your way to not worry about this is just to pretend that it's not happening and call it faith, you're being foolish and you're putting the mask of faith on your foolishness. Let me say that again. If you're just going to pretend that things aren't going wrong, and this is way bigger than this whole COVID-19 thing, like just in your life, if you're going to pretend that things aren't going wrong and you're going to call it faith, you're actually walking out foolishness. You're just putting a pretty Christian mask over the top of it. This isn't the thing that we're called to do. We have these two ditches. One is fear that pretends to be wisdom. The other one is foolishness that pretends to be faith. And we actually get to walk out that center line that says we're going to love really, really well. And we're going to prepare in the midst of that loving really, really well. It says in Proverbs 27, a prudent person sees danger coming and they take cover. Another way of saying that is a wise person sees danger and they prepare. Like, that's a simple, timeless truth that isn't a faithless one. It's a simple, timeless truth that is not a faithless one. There is something about my family coming from a disaster response preparedness background, having extra medical things laying around, having extra food laying around, believe it or not, having extra toilet paper before people went crazy and started hoarding all the Charmin. Don't squeeze it. Don't buy all of it. Like, there's something about that that enables us now today to have my wife go door to door and see if our neighbors need any toilet paper. Like, there's something about the little kids showing up to the meeting with a couple loaves of bread and a couple of fish and God doing a miraculous multiplication in the midst of it. Presumably, that kid's the only one that was smart enough to bring a lunch. I need you to hear this. Presumably, that kid's the only one that was smart enough to bring a lunch. He didn't come with foolishness masters faith going, God's going to provide, but he also didn't come dragging food in a wheelbarrow behind him. He brought something for God to work with. Amen? So this is the thing that we get to walk out together, this beautiful balance between faith and wisdom. Without fear involved, without foolishness involved. I have no doubt that there are churches that are meeting right now today because God called them to step into a place of meeting in bold, powerful faith. That's incredible. God bless you. Good on you for doing it. When our team prayed and when our leadership came together, we discerned that God was calling us to come into this place of honoring the requests that were made by our local government and our state government. I'm not a huge fan of government. I normally would not be cool with this request, but because the Holy Spirit's present and he brought unity to our team, this is the reason that we're walking this thing out. Does that make sense? So this is the thing that we get to do together. I'm reminded of the story of Joseph and Pharaoh. And you guys know the story, you're familiar with it, but I'm going to hit it anyway. Pharaoh has this troubling dream. You guys remember the dream? It symbolizes 7 years of incredible plenty coming, followed up by 7 years of incredible lack. And the dream troubles Pharaoh. And it doesn't trouble him in a fear way. It troubles him in a confusion way. Pharaoh can't figure out what it means. He knows that the dream is significant, but he cannot figure out what the heck it means for the life of him. And it's this wild apocalyptic language. Did you guys know that we're in the midst of an apocalypse? The word apocalypse just means the revealing. Things are being revealed right now in our nation and in our people. Like, if you're freaking out, your heart posture has been revealed. If you've been sucked into fear and panic and anxiety, your heart posture is being revealed. You've had your own personal apocalypse. Hallelujah. But Pharaoh has this apocalyptic dream where he sees 7 fat cows and then 7 super skinny emaciated cows, and he can't figure it out. It takes a believer. It takes Joseph, this guy that has walked in lack, It takes this guy that has a spiritual gift of the interpretation of dreams, something that's available to the whole church through the Holy Spirit. It takes this guy coming in and interpreting, and the really cool thing is, he doesn't just interpret the dream, he has a plan. He doesn't just step out in faith, he also steps out in wisdom. Joseph comes and he brings this powerful, totally Holy Spirit interpretation. Like, he tells Pharaoh the dream that he had, and then he interprets the dream. Like, this is the kind of faith experience that he steps out in, and then he brings the solution and wisdom. We have to store up for 7 years because we're going to use the extra store from 7 years to feed people for the next 7 years that look ugly. This is the same archetype that we get to step into together. We get to have faith. We get to stand on the word. I believe that right now in the land, there are seeds of the manifestation of revival that are opening and beginning to grow right now. I believe that our culture needs the miraculous. And I'm sure some of you have heard, there are like unreported or unconfirmed reports coming out of China of churches of 1,000 people where everyone is healed in prayer, where this virus thing is just wiped out with one prayer from the pastor and 1,000 people are instantly healed, no more symptoms. This is the thing that we're getting to step into right now. Like, don't get me wrong, I will lay hands on you. Anybody on our team will lay hands on you. We're not in that place. We're going, faith looks like we know that God will heal and that he's still a God that heals. Wisdom looks like not giving a foothold for this thing to get into our body and hurt the least of these. So this is what we get to walk out together. So if you've been struggling with fear, the love of your neighbors will kill that fear. If you've been struggling with hopelessness, the love of your neighbors will kill that hopelessness. You never look more like Papa God than when you love dangerously. Let me say that again. You never look more like Papa God than when you love dangerously. There's this Babylon Bee article that they posted earlier this week that it still has me rolling every time I think about it. It said, in an amazing act of faith, widow places last roll of Charmin in the offering plate as it goes by. What if your neighbor hasn't had a chance to go out and get the stuff that they need, but you have? What does it look like to share with them in the midst of the hard things that are going on? Better yet, what if you have a friend or a family member that is freaking out, and as Dan Paolo would say, they're in full bore stationary panic? What if you have the opportunity to be peace and hope for that person by partnering with an oppositional spirit? By partnering with the opposite thing and bringing hope into the equation. Like, what if the church gets to rise up as a beacon of hope and peace in a way that we've never in our lifetimes had the opportunity to do so? What if God is actually calling us to be that light that can't be dimmed, that city on a hill that can be seen from far off? Like, what if that's the call right now, and the only thing that stands between us and stepping into that reality is a little bit of fear? What I'm saying is that right now we have an opportunity to trust Jesus like we never have before. Right now, we have an opportunity to see miracles, signs, and wonders in the land like we never have before. We have an incredible opportunity as a people to step into an awareness of the peace and the glory of his manifest presence, and to walk in that and to live in that in the midst of the chaos that spins around us. This is good news. This is the gospel. This is theory. This is the breaking of the oppositional thing that's rising up right now to steal the most valuable asset resource that the church has, and that's her peace. We have the opportunity to hold on to it. So I'm going to pray right now, and then Pastor Rick is going to come back up and just talk a little bit about some of the logistics of what we have going on. But if you're dealing with this fear thing, if you're dealing with this anxiety thing in this season, if you feel like you've been partnering with fear and masking it as wisdom, or if you feel like just being real, you've been being foolish and calling it faith, I'm going to go after both those things. I just want you to receive, and this is going to sound really weird, but if you're watching online right now, just put your hands up. Just as a prophetic act, just put your hands up. You receive. King Jesus, thank you that fear is breaking in houses all over our community, our state, our nation, right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you that you are not the author of panic and confusion, but of order. Thank you that you are the author of order, God. So we break anything that looks like confusion, chaos, dread. We cancel dread. We cancel the fear of death, that spirit of death that breaks right now in Jesus' name. I just release joy right now. Joy, peace, hope, and true Holy Spirit wisdom into every household, into every heart that's open to it. Just let it pour down. Let it pour down. Just like warm, soothing, protective oil. Yeah, it pours down right now in Jesus' name. And God, that you would give to anyone who's listening Holy Spirit-led revelation and directive as to how they can love their family well, as to how they can love their neighbors well, as to how they can walk out a more perfect picture of the gospel in the midst of the greatest opportunity the church has ever seen to impact the world around her with love. So may your love increase, may your boldness increase, may the protection around you not increase, because it's always been there. Let it be known to you and be manifested before you. And and may you step into a powerful awareness of the miracles and the signs and the wonders that are happening around you, in you, and through you in the midst of the harvest field that you've been called to. So we thank you for it, Jesus. We bless you. We lay down fear and foolishness and shame and confusion and dread and doubt at the altar right now. And we pick up your love. We pick up your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Rick.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron. That was awesome. Well, we get to enter into a new time. That's what Pastor Aaron was really talking about, is everything that we do going forward is going to be a little different than normal. What we called normal before, we're going to lose that definition. I can guarantee that coming out of here. And that's going to go to us as a church. And as we learn, and using the term navigate through these next several weeks, as we try to absorb all that's going on in the world, try to understand what we have to do to serve you. This is a chance, church. This is what Elevation stands on. We stand on being the light to the world. This now is the greatest time in the history of this church to be that beacon of hope, to be that beacon of understanding. When we walk out in the world, we carry the presence of Jesus. Right now, the world is looking for, what do I do next? We get to be a witness. We get to be the ambassador of Christ now, like we've never had the opportunity before. This is such a time in history. We're so excited about this, to be able to go out there and help every one of you be equipped, every one of you to be empowered, to go out and demonstrate, lead, and witness to the world what it means to be Christ-like. Now, as I said earlier, We're meeting tomorrow as a staff to determine what we're going to do next week. And that's what we mean is all the different classes that we have, events, activities during the course of the week that we do on this premise where we gather. So we ask that you please be watchful. So we'll send out what our plan is for next week. We're going to give it through an email, through a text, through our website and social media. And we'll continue to give you those updates during the week. And here's the thing that I got to ask all of you. Please change your frame of mind to understand that we don't have ability now. I'm waving my hand like the seats are all full. We don't have a chance to talk to you this way. The only way we can is through electronic. The grace comes from is, please understand, we're going to default to over-communicate versus under-communicate. So you're going to get more emails from us. You're going to get more texts. We're going to have more social media posts. Please just know during this time as we walk through this that you will receive those. If you don't like the volume, we just ask you, please just, okay, not look at it. But we do ask, there's going to be vital information in everything we do. That going forward is our only way of communicating with you, the only way to touch you. And we're not going to be the only ones. It's going to increase. So this over these next couple of weeks we go through this, you're going to see more and more information. When you really truly understand what we're going to do, please come to our website, our social media, etc. That's going to be the truth per se of what you're going to hear, what we're going to do. Now there's another thing that's going to ask, and this is important. Because this is part of how a church operates, and that comes to your tithes and your offering and your giving. Obviously, we can't pass like we normally do on Sunday morning. But here's what we ask you to do, is go to the website, www.elevationchurchwi.com/giving. Walk through that process and give online. It's really important to do that. Here's the other one. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, please put a check, write a check like you normally do, and mail it to us. Because that way we can have that come to. And our address is Elevation Church, 2605 South Oneida Street, Suite 123, Green Bay, Wisconsin, 54304. And it's on our website also. That's very important that we all understand that we're going to be doing things different for a little while here. As we get back to some resemblance of normal, it won't be exactly what the norm was before this. This is the time what Pastor Aaron talked about, where wisdom comes in, where we talk about the difference between fear and unfamiliarity. Unfamiliarity is okay. Fear gives a different reaction. So we're going to ask you to change not only your behaviors, but your understanding as we walk through this time. We know that the leading of the Holy Spirit is going to be so prominent here, so engaging, that we, as members of Elevation Church, are going to be restored and transformed into a whole different mindset. Where I talked about earlier, we're going to move into a kingdom mindset like we've never known before. And the miracles, the signs, the wonders that are going to come from that are going to be a testimony of what it means to be a follower, a believer, to be in the family of Lord Jesus Christ. We will be set apart. Remember, God said we're a peculiar people, which means set apart. We're his treasure. He will take care of us. All we have to do is our part is rely on that faith, that belief, and the actions that come with that. We thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we're going to rebroadcast this at the 10:45, and Revelation Church is also going to be broadcast at their 1:30 time frame. God bless. We'll see you soon.